Have you ever been reading a celebrity pastor's blog posts or listening to a famous Bible teacher and something jumps out to you and you're just like, how am I the only person seeing this thing? Why isn't anyone talking about it? Well, you're not alone. Welcome to Underdog Theology. This podcast is about looking at what's happening in evangelicalism. I'm talking tweets, I'm talking books, blogs, videos, all of it, and judging it according to Scripture. Whether that's reacting to celebrity pastors, teasing about the latest ridiculous battle in the culture war, or just having a little bit of fun together, this show is for all the folks who feel like they're on the outside looking in, who feel like they don't have a voice, who feel like they're an underdog. Welcome to Underdog Theology. I'm going to start every single episode with doing the bump, 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 bump. I just love it. I like the intro. I like the new. If you like, I try to clip it out when I remember it, but if you show up early, you get like the intro music and people think it's a vibe. You know, I'm not saying like I'm good at curating music. I'm just saying people say that about me and I don't tell them they're wrong. You know, it's my birthday. Be nice to me. It's my birthday. I didn't think I was going to really bring that up, but then Pamela said happy birthday, so it's yes, congratulations to my mom in heaven who gave birth to me. It's really, I didn't do a lot. Like, I mean, like I get the credit, but I didn't really do a lot, so I really just appreciate, you know, the fact that I got life. Also happy 90th, guys. It's 90. We've been doing this forever, it seems. 90 episodes. And this is actually just a joke. My kid, whenever he's like talking about my age or anything, I'm like, I'm 90 years old. And I just always say it that way. I might have even said it a bunch of times here on the streams. But he got me this card. And I was like, oh, you're awesome. And then I got a bunch of drawings. Yeah, whatever. People know my kids' names. Anyways. So we're just hanging out. We're going to have a pretty low-key stream today. Except, you know, we don't have like a hot topic. There were some, but I was like, I thought about not even doing an episode today and just taking a week off. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something because I've been thinking about this for a long time. And especially I've been hinting that we're going to be doing a series on a few teachers in the near future on this Christendom 2.0 thing. And so I thought it'd be fun to kind of like look at where all these teachers are and kind of put them on a map. So you saw it in the thumbnail. We're going to be taking a look at a map. And I hope that I got all the states right. It's been a while, all right, since I've had to care. All right, so like I hope I put everything where it's supposed to be on the dots, because I already see like Cody was like, is he in OKC? I really hope I didn't mess up, but I don't think there's anyone in OKC. But yeah, we're gonna be taking a look at that here in just a little bit. But first, I gotta say hi to my peeps. Say hi to everyone who's hanging out with me. Cody is here. We got Ethan here, hopping on the live for the first time in a while, just been catching the replay. Hey, you know what? Replay Army is a real thing. You know, like we get a bunch of people who watch. There's probably like, you know, not everyone like watches like the whole thing while it's streaming, but usually by the time I'm done, there's 200 views. So I don't know if that's 200 unique people or if it's just views, but there's lots of people who hang out with us and have a good time. But then also, you know, like, there's like a bunch more people that watch on the replay. So if you're one of those people, it's just like, I can't make it for a live. That's cool. Just, you know, leave a comment. Let me know that you're hanging out with us and you enjoy what we're doing here. And again, be super nice to me. It's my birthday and I'm getting a little tired of the hate. I got to be honest. Like sometimes I try to be like, oh, you know, I could take it. But like sometimes it's just annoying and frustrating and honestly a little sad how some people react to what I'm doing here. But, you know, I know a lot of you guys enjoy it. So let me know that kind of stuff. It makes me feel good. Wendy says that she's doing well. Hot. Oh, so very hot here. It's a thing. Summer seems like it's legit in Texas. And I'm very glad that I'm not there. I'm so sorry, Wendy, but I'm just saying. I'd like to hang out with you, but not with your weather. We can meet in the middle. All right. I don't know. What is that? Kansas? I don't know. I don't know maps. We'll look at one, though. Bobby is here. Bobby Heckle. Like the intro music. Wish the prelude music at my church was that sick. Yeah, it'd be probably a weird vibe for some of you guys if all of a sudden your church was like playing that kind of music at the at the intro, getting people in. Something tells me the older people would maybe have a little bit of a hard time with that. Might be a little upset. Sam is here. Says, hey, fam.
Hello there.
Oh, we switched it back. We're not always John MacArthur with hey, fam.
Hello there.
We got that going on. Pamela is here. Heidi says, happy birthday, Dean. Last night I dreamed Aaron and I were a live audience on your show. Wow. That would be so boring for you. Like, I mean, I'm probably a lot funner of an experience just watching it here. If you're just like sitting there, it's just me talking to a camera. You don't have any visuals. You don't have the music because it's all in my headphones. That'd be so boring. But you know, we can hang out. Tax collector says, happy birthday, Dean. I appreciate it. And got some more happy birthdays. Oh, you guys are so nice. Look at this. Skate hopping in, Brian hopping in. Happy birthday, David Collins.
Hello there.
Saying happy birthday. Oh my goodness. You guys are like flooding the chat with happy birthdays. That's so nice. Winston Pickett here says, do you feel conflicted about the fact that your birthday is also International Cat Day? What? I did not know about this.
I steadfastly refuse.
We're not doing that. It's my day. It's not the cat's day. Cats are evil, by the way.
What's wrong with you people?
Anyone who has them, that's what I think.
What's wrong with you people?
No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. We've got Andy saying happy birthday. Just lots of people saying happy birthday. I appreciate it. Hey, Lunch with Lentini. Happy birthday. Mine was yesterday. Look at that beard, guys. I don't want to blow it up because, like, then I have to fix it. Although, I think I could just do Control Z. Nope, and then just disappeared. Okay, we won't try that again. But look at that beard. Oh, my goodness. I thought I was having, like, a decent beard day today. And then I look at that, and it's just, like, it puts me to shame. If you're listening to the podcast, if I upload it, then you're probably like, oh, my goodness, what is it? You need to watch the video just to see Danny's beard. What else was I gonna say? I don't know. Tax collector, hope for your birthday. The NBA bring back the Sonics. Hey, they're talking about it. 90 years, 90 episodes. Woot woot. Yep. One episode a year. That's what I'm committing to. Wendy says, Dean, International Cat Day. That's a bummer. That's a bumper. Thanks for that, Winston Pickett. Tax collector, Christendom 2.0 sounds like the title of a computer software. Yes, because we, you know, the old Christendom is outdated. We need something new. We need something new. So we need 2.0. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, let's hop into it then, because things are changing, right? Like that's kind of what this whole channel has been about. As I started doing vlogs, you know, it's my birthday, so I feel like going down a rabbit trail of, you can hop into the chat and we'll go down the rabbit trail together, talking about where I've come from with this channel. We started doing family vlogs because I was bored during the pandemic, and then started doing some Bible teaching, and that was kind of fun. And then, you know, we started talking about things that were changing, because it felt like everything was changing. I felt like there were so many teachers that I had never heard of, and I'm pretty dialed in to what's happening in evangelicalism. I've always been very interested in what's going on with John MacArthur. I remember hearing his voice on the radio as, like, I mean, a little kid, like 6 years old, and then like buying his books when I was like freaking 13. Okay, I've been reading John MacArthur since I was 12, and then buying books, and then like seeing what's going on with him. See what happened with Mars Hill and Mark Driscoll and all those teachers, and the Young Restless Reform Movement, and John Piper and Tim Keller. And I've just kind of always been observant about what's happening in evangelical culture. But the last few years, I felt like disoriented, like just like, who are these people? Who are these people? Who's that guy? Like, where does he come from? What's he about? And then to see some some ministries, some teachers transition into different, you know, like they're in one circle 1 minute, and then next thing you know, they're like talking about something completely crazy. You're like, what happened? So today I thought it'd be kind of fun to look at a map and kind of a little bit nostalgia and a little bit informative, because we're going to take a look at where we come, where we came from, and then where we're going, and kind of asking, you know, is this the future of evangelicalism? What is the future of at least the Reformed world of evangelicalism? And I want to put that disclaimer because, you know, not everyone is so dialed into the Reformed world. So you might be like, well, that's just like all you're talking about is Reformed guys. Yeah, kind of. That's my world. That's my world. And it's a lot of your guys' world, or at least the teachers that you've been influenced by, the vast majority of you at least. So I think that we all kind of care about where this is going. And also, even if this isn't your tribe, it's going to have influence. And I think that what we're seeing with, you know, these Reform guys and where things have led to, like, that's probably bound to happen in some of these other denominations and other, religious groupings of different leaders. So I think it's a good thing for all of us. I will say, you know, it is my birthday. You don't need to get me anything. All right. Just hit the like button. That's all you got to do. Please, it's my birthday. Be nice to me. You know, we've got 52 people watching right now, and we'll probably get some more. And we've got 12 likes. Please, for my birthday, won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Also, maybe think about subscribing to the channel. You know, if you really want to go above and beyond for my birthday. I talked about my birthday way too much. All right, let's go over to the map. I like doing this kind of stuff. All right, so we've got a bunch of different cities and places. But, you know, these are the familiar faces. I tried. This isn't like a time-sensitive thing. I just tried to get some funny kind of looking ones of, you know, these young guys. Maybe you know their faces, but you don't remember them quite like this. But, all right, let's start it at the top here. We had Mark Driscoll. Puka shell wearing Mark Driscoll, not cowboy Mark Driscoll, as we talked about on Friday on the stream, but a very different Mark Driscoll who believed in Reformed theology at the time. Jury's out whether that's still the case. He likes to tease and make fun of Calvinists, but hey, you know what? I kind of do too, so it's okay. But we had Puka shell wearing Mark Driscoll hanging out in Seattle and had a huge impact, obviously. And like right next to him is Doug Wilson over in Moscow. And, you know, there was a friendship between these two. And I'd be very interested to see how that continues in the future. I think that it will be. I'm just waiting for that video. I talked about this on Friday. I'm just waiting for that video of them sitting in two chairs on that stage with the weird light bulbs, you know, looking like they're going to do a Broadway show. I'm waiting for them to have a conversation about what it means to be a man. And it'll be the Mark Driscoll interview or something like that. And they'll talk about cancel culture and whatever. It's bound to happen. But they were friends and they definitely had a huge impact. And I will say, people don't like it when I say this, a good impact. There was a good impact because people got saved. So that was awesome. Now, a lot of people got hurt in the fallout from all of that, and especially over in Moscow, there's still stuff going on over there. But a lot of good things happened. Then you got John MacArthur, Johnny Mac, down there in Sun Valley.
Big yikes.
Rocking the, wow, like that haircut, the glasses, you know, take a screenshot and zoom in later. It was a vibe, I guess. Well, hey, you know what? He had a huge impact down there too. Was one of the leaders of the Young Restless Reform movement and beyond. Like, he's had so much influence. When you take in the size of scope, right? I always want to do that Justin Peters joke, but he's had a huge impact and continues to have a huge impact. He's one of the old guard. And then if you move over to Minneapolis, maybe you don't recognize him with hair, or at least a lot of it. But that's John Piper rocking. You can't see it, but there's a cross necklace. very interesting guy back in the day. But obviously having such a crazy impact, both for Jesus and also, you know, with the gender stuff, with writing biblical manhood and womanhood, and having a huge influence in that arena as well. Obviously with Calvinism, you know, meant it, like it's one of those sermons that went all over the place. You know, the seashells, and apparently collecting seashells is horrible because you should be on the mission field dying for Jesus. And if you collect seashells, that means you can't do that, I guess. But, you know, still big impact. If Luke Daly is here, he's probably like, that's my guy. That's my guy. We like Luke Daly here on the channel. Then we got Tim Keller over there. You know, a much younger version of Tim Keller. Like just doing his ministry, really focused on church planting there in New York. You got Mark Dever down below doing baby face. I don't know what this picture was about, but I thought it was funny. I've said it before. I'm pretty sure Mark Dever is my spirit animal. There's just something about him, his personality that just resonates with me. But also as a Baptist, there's a lot that I agree with Mark Dever. Now I have some disagreements, but he's had a huge impact. It really, you might think of him and be like, Mark Dever, that's not that big of a name compared to some of these other guys, but he's one of those guys that brought people together. He was one of the uniters and had the vision for, you know, some of these things like Together for the Gospel and the Gospel Coalition, and bringing a lot of these big teachers, some, you know, that were there for a long time, like John Piper, Al Mohler, R.C. Sproul, people like that, and John MacArthur, and then bringing in some of these new guys, too. He was kind of the bridge builder in the Reformed world. And so he brought a lot of those guys together. So his impact, you know, people might be like, oh, his church isn't that big, or, you know, it's not like he's making millions off of his book sales like some of these other guys. And they are, maybe except for John Piper, but they're making a lot. But he's not one of those guys, but he is one of the people that brought people together. Let's go to the bottom there, and you got R.C. Sproul, my man. Oh, man, I love R.C. You know, I'm sure that if he was around, I'd probably have some disagreements. You know, it's kind of a shame, like, of the timing of when he died, obviously God's providence, but also I just wish we knew where he stood on some of these things, because I have a feeling there would be things that I would be like shocked that he landed where he would have, but we'll never know. So that's unfortunate, but what I do know about his theology, I love, and there's quite a bit that I've learned from him. And then you've got Al Mohler, who is, behind John Piper, I'd probably say the most influential out of all these guys. And you might be like, what? He's not that big a name. He was the president of the seminary that taught thousands about Reformed theology. And he took that seminary from being pretty liberal. Like they were having female ordination as like a debatable topic in their seminary. And I know we've got some egalitarians here in the chat. But I'm just saying, like, he was going into that kind of situation, and then he basically turned it the complete opposite way, maybe too far, but then also brought in the Reformed soteriology, and it's basically the Reformed seminary of the Southern Baptist Convention and the biggest seminary. It's a flagship seminary, and so his influence couldn't be understated. He has influenced thousands of pastors through their seminary training. He is the guy that's been hiring over at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. So it's a big deal. Now, I want you to notice a few things, and maybe you can let me know what you think in the chat, some of the similarities. You know, these guys who came to like the tippy top of the evangelical world. Look at these guys, and minus a couple, when I look at them, I see scholars. Like, I see guys who, like, maybe not all of them have doctorates, but these are smart individuals. Like, and a lot of them do have doctorates and have, like, been to really prestigious seminaries. Like, even, you know, some people want to get on John MacArthur for his honorary doctorate. You know, he went through the mill with some of his teachers. Like this, he is a smart individual. Like he's very good at school. Okay. But then of course, Al Mohler, R.C. Sproul, Mark Dever, Tim Keller, John Piper, these guys are intellectual giants. Regardless of whether you agree with them or not, they are. Now maybe some of these guys on the left coast here, maybe not as much, but over on the East Coast, which, you know, I'm a left coast guy. So, you know, I have my bias. So it's saying a lot for me to be like the East Coast guys. They know what's going on. Now, that's the biggest thing that I see with like why these guys got to where they did. Like, yes, it's about like the sermons and the clips that started to go around when YouTube became a thing and sharing videos became a thing. But it's about, I think, education. I think it's about connections that these people like knew each other. And then you have where I think things are going. So obviously things have transitioned. Some of these ministries are not as big as they used to be. And they're kind of getting to a place where some of these might be just going away. All right. This is where I think things are headed. Whoop, that's not it. This one. All right. So again, where we've been, and you can see, like, also notice the cities, like some of them are in smaller places like Moscow and Sanford. But like, notice like the locations. Sanford is pretty close to Orlando. So you could basically say Orlando, Sun Valley, pretty close to Los Angeles. So look at the focus there and then where things are going. It's very different. It's very different in so many ways. This is where I think evangelicalism, as far as reformed world, like the reformed world, where I think things are going. And I'm sorry again, if you're listening to the podcast, a lot of visuals today, so you might want to check out the YouTube channel. But let's start over at the top in the left in Moscow. And you'll notice who I have there. So this is where I think things are going over there in Moscow. I think Joe Rigney is going to be the successor for Doug Wilson. It's not going to be Jared Longshore. It's not going to be any of these cross-politic guys. I don't think that they have the... Oh, this is going to sound so mean. It's my birthday, so be nice to me in the chat and in the comment section as I say this. I don't think that they have like the intellectual capability of Doug Wilson. And like, as much as I disagree with Doug Wilson about a lot of different things, he's a very smart person. And I think that Joe Rigney is one of those guys that could match him as far, like, he's a very smart man. Definitely not my favorite. Have learned, some things, you know. I actually have one of his books here. It's underneath my audio thing, so I'm not going to grab it. But his Live Like a Narnian, I actually like that book quite a bit, even though I disagree with a little bit of it. I was reading it the other day. But a lot of things I disagree with. Obviously, his stances lately have been odd. You know, he was a Baptist president of a seminary like just a couple months ago, and now he's a fellow there at New St. Andrews College. And I think he's the heir apparent to Doug Wilson. So he's going to have influence over there. And we know that the Moscow camp is growing. It's growing like crazy and having more influence over some of these other guys who are up and comers. Now moving down south to Sun Valley, you know, John MacArthur's ministry is going to continue long past his death. You know, we saw it with James Montgomery Boyce. We're seeing it with R.C. Sproul. And I think we're going to see it once again, and there's tons of other guys, but we're going to see it once again with John MacArthur. He's not going to be there probably much longer. You know, he is getting older, but there are going to be guys. I don't know who the next guy is. I honestly don't think it matters. I don't think it's going to be one of those ministries that is going to have another pastor who's going to be everything that John MacArthur was. Doesn't seem like there's someone like that there. Now, I've debated maybe Josh Bice, you know, heads from Atlanta over to Sun Valley, and maybe. But if something like that doesn't happen and someone from their camp, one of the successors from the podcast, that guy from YouTube. Come on, Austin Duncan. I know you watch my stuff. But I think it's going to be one of their elders is probably going to step up, and it's just going to be a big ministry because it's John MacArthur's old church. But it's not going to be like there's like a figurehead who is like the leader of it. But there will be influence. And especially, I think, amongst like more conservative IFB kind of types who maybe have some leanings into Reformed theology. But I think even as John MacArthur fades, like this is that's going to fade too. Like, I don't think those guys are going to be as big of proponents as Reformed soteriology as John MacArthur was. So I'm just very interested to see what's going to happen there. And then probably what I would say is actually like the biggest influence to come out of John MacArthur's ministry, I think, are going to be people like Costi Henn. You know, he went to Masters, and I think right now he's working on a doctorate from Midwestern. Maybe I'm a little off on that. I know at least at some point he was. But he has a ministry down there in Arizona. He has a church. It just got started with the church plant, but also for the gospel. And that is a ministry that I think is going to skyrocket. I really do. You know, they make interesting looking things. Like the look of it is good. If you look at their logo and stuff like that, these kind of things matter, as we saw with Mark Driscoll. If it wasn't for the videos, if it wasn't for the cool aesthetic, of his teaching, even simple things like the design of backgrounds and things like that made a huge difference for Mark Driscoll. And I think things like that will really help people like Costi Henn, and they've developed a real system down there. So I would expect his platform to grow. You know, I have some disagreements with him, but I will say, you know, someone on Twitter was like, why do you have Kevin DeYoung there? What's your issue? Or what's the issue with Kevin DeYoung? Like, it just because I think that they're going to be leaders moving forward in the Reformed evangelical world. It doesn't mean I think that they're the worst people in the world. Okay. Like, some people are so dang critical. But I think that he's going to be one of those guys that is going to preach the gospel. He's going to be faithful to the gospel, you know, probably more conservative than me, a lot more conservative than me, maybe you. And especially when it comes to like gender things, he's definitely not for patriarchy, but when he's talking about soft complementarianism, I'm telling you right now, that's not soft complementarianism. So there are going to be differences there, but I think he's going to be one of those guys that is going to be like a huge influence moving forward. And then moving up to Ogden, Utah. All right. Now these are the guys, right? This is the Christendom 2.0 guys. This is Brian Save. I'm not trying to make fun of his name. I just don't know how to say it, and I haven't watched enough of his videos to know how he says it. So he's one of those guys. He went viral for talking about Beth Moore and also yoga pants, I think. Like, you know, I've seen his tweets all over. Interestingly, he blocked me a long time ago. I don't think I ever interacted with him. It was probably one of those, you follow these people, that kind of thing, or I don't know. But he's got a big beard, so I guess that makes him Reformed. He's a big fan of Doug Wilson, buddy with Joel Webbin. I think in aliens. That's something that I'm looking into. He's got a podcast about aliens. He's there, but he has a bunch of people. It's interesting, like, seeing some of these things transition, and we're going away from like there's one leader and you know, like, no one else on staff is all that popular. Like, we've seen that time and time again. Like, if we're to look at like this map, you probably don't know anyone else who's on staff, or maybe even like this, I think, is one of the main problems with this group, is like they didn't prepare for their transition out of here. You know, a lot of these guys don't have successors, or at least their successors don't have nearly the success that they did. And yet we're seeing that already take place with some of these guys, where they're getting some of these other guys who maybe have a little bit of a following in the same sphere, and they're bringing them over. They're bringing them over. So in Ogden, you have like a bunch of these guys. So there's Brian, and then there's Eric Kahn, who does the Hard Men podcast. I talked a little bit about that the other day, and we're going to be talking about these guys because they're having more and more influence. But also, again, notice the difference. Notice the difference here. Cities, scholars, smaller locations, and maybe not as much scholarship. All right, you do have some, but I think the vast majority of these guys, they're not known, at least, for their scholarship. You know, they're known for what they do online. And that to me is very interesting. But Brian's there, Eric Kahn's there. There's a few other guys in that camp. And of course, they're buddy-buddy with Joel Webbin there at Right Response Ministries. Now, the reason why I put his a little bit smaller is, you know, I don't think he has the influence that some of these other guys do, but he is building a platform down there in Texas, you know, with his ministry online. His church, at least from what I've seen, is pretty small. So it's interesting because, like, before, again, you got like mega churches. You got mega churches, and like, except for Moscow, maybe, but you got really big churches and really big publishing stuff, like organizations with Ligonier and stuff like that. And then you got little churches and like a bunch of influence online, and that's having more and more influence just in general. Like, and it's bringing people into those locations, as we see with what's going on in Ogden, Utah. So he's down there at Georgetown, Texas. He started a church down there, but it's small, but you just watch. It's going to grow. It's going to grow because he's got an online platform, and it's going to bring people in. And it's an extreme kind of ideology. So yeah, you're going to get people being pretty extreme, because you think about that. Would you move? Like, would you move because you liked someone on YouTube? And you're like, oh, I'll move from, I don't know, South Dakota. You're in South Dakota and you're not happy with your church. And so you pick up your entire life and you move down to Texas to be at, you know, some YouTuber's church. That's a pretty extreme decision. But guys, extreme leaders, like, they get those extreme decisions. They don't have to tell their people to like and subscribe. Like, I mean, they do, but like, they're going to make those hardcore decisions of picking up their entire lives and following after a leader. And honestly, that's the same kind of stuff that Mark Driscoll did back in the day. I'm not saying they're the same person. It's just like that same extreme leaders. They're going to have extreme followers. Followers go further, and they might be going really far with picking up their entire lives to move to certain locations in the middle of nowhere, at least it seems to me. It's a little, like, it's around Austin, I think, but it's not a big place. Let's go all the way back up to the top with Minneapolis. Again, like the same thing with John MacArthur's ministry, I see there's no heir, right? Like, there's no one to take over John Piper's throne, if you will. I mean, there were. There used to be. It's sad. It's like, I laugh because it's so dang sad. Like, the pastor that he handpicked, and they did like this huge thing. I remember like them talking about it on like the Gospel Coalition about this transition, and like, you know, this is how you do transitions. And he went from, you know, is Jason Meyer or Jason Myers? I forget if there's an S on his name, but he was like the pastor that was handpicked by Piper. And then all kinds of heck happened, and he's still in Minneapolis. Like, that's how you know things are real bad. He doesn't like pick up his life and move all across the country. He literally just moves to a different church in the same town. That's crazy. So he left, and then the president, you know, takes off and goes to Moscow. Like, he's not even Baptist anymore. He's now Paedo-Baptist. Again, a president of a seminary wasn't dialed in. Like, people make decisions about their theology and change over time. But the fact that he went from being a president of a Baptist seminary and being Credo Baptist to then going to Moscow and being Pado Baptist in a couple months to me is nuts. And to me is very dangerous. Like someone who's willing to transition like that. But anyways, obviously there's no one there. Now you still have like people like David Mathis. You know, you have people that have been around John Piper and have been, you know, heavily influenced by him and have picking up like a lot of what John Piper has laid down. But there's not anybody there that's going to be another John Piper. Their pastor, Kenny Stokes. No, it's not going to happen. He's not going to be like, oh, you know, headlining a conference or anything like that. And like not everyone has to, by the way. I'm just saying like that ministry is going to shrink and it's going to become a different thing. And for me, when I look at that, I'm seeing Desiring God as being like the thing that's going to take over from John Piper. It's not going to be about John Piper. It's going to be Desiring God. And they are doing things online. And to me, that's the biggest difference between Grace Community Church and Desiring God. They are working hard over there. They're making stuff, you know, the Ask Pastor John podcast. That's going to be a reference that's going to be used for a long time. And I know, Grace to you, but that's mostly radio. I think that Desiring God is going to be around for a while simply because they know how to use the internet. Then we'll go down to Conway, Arkansas, to a strip mall seminary, which they wear that proudly. I think they put hoodies out, right? But that's Owen Strand. Now, you probably know the name Owen Strand. We talked about him a couple weeks ago. He was at Midwestern, too extreme for Midwestern. You know, he's putting out a different vibe these days, and I think that might be genuine repentance, so I want to be fair to him. But he's definitely putting out a different vibe now than he was like 3 or 4 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago, his tweets and Dale Partridge's and Joel Webbins looked all very similar. But he's not doing that anymore, and he's calling out those guys. And so while I thought that there would be like some friendship because it seemed like they agreed on a whole lot, it seems like Owen Strand has mellowed out quite a bit. And, you know, there's definitely a friendship between him and Costi Henn and some of like the G3 guys, but it seems like he's his own thing. And they're starting that seminary, and I think that seminary is going to have more influence because, again, he knows how to market. Even the strip mall seminary thing, he took that dig and he used it. And he was like, I'm running with it. And everybody knows that seminary now because of that name. And it does have some people like James White is on staff there, I think. You know, there are some people that you might know who teach there. I think that seminary is going to grow. I think the Owen Strand's platform through that seminary is going to grow. And I know it might sound really bad, but I think that might be good. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest. I don't know what to make of him because he used to be very different, but he's sounding like he is having a lot of problems with some of these other teachers, and that might be a very helpful thing moving forward. So, wait, a strip mall seminary and Strand thinks it looks legit? Well, people were making fun of it because like their seminary, I guess, is in a strip mall or at least was at a certain time. And so, they were making fun of it, basically being like starting your own thing. And he took that dig, you know, and flipped it. And he was like, no, I'm going to use this for marketing. And so they made like sweatshirts and stuff like that. And, it works online when you do stuff like that though. And then you got Josh Bice, who is maybe one of the bigger guys in this category here of what's coming. G3 Ministries is big, and it has an odd collection of people. You know, like I've talked about this a few times now. Kevin Bowder, former president of Central Baptist Theological Seminary in Minneapolis, very fundamentalist school, like a beacon. Like I will say there are far more academic than other fundamentalist seminaries and colleges and things like that. So he's a very smart individual, but he's definitely a fundamentalist and he writes for G3. So it's just very interesting because it's not like back in the day, it was like you had you know, like these conferences and you would get all the reform guys there. And then over time, it's become very narrowed to where it's all the super conservative guys who maybe talk about Calvinism, but you know, this next conference, they're talking about the sovereignty of God. So I'm sure that there's going to be quite a bit of talk about Calvinism. But I don't know if I would call them Reformed. But you know, they claim to be, and Josh Weiss definitely has a huge platform. So I think that's going to carry through. And then I think what's going to happen, like if you look at this list versus, once again, this list, like you got, I think, robust Reformed theology. Now, some people would disagree with me on there, but you got heavy hitters on Reformed theology. And then you look at this, you don't really see that, at least to me, not very much, except for Kevin DeYoung. Like Kevin DeYoung is Reformed. And he is clearly Reformed. He started a website to show just how dang Reformed he is. Clearly Reformed. And I think that he is going to continue to have a huge platform. And you can see it. Guys, you will be shocked. You will be shocked. Go to his Twitter and see how many followers Kevin DeYoung has. If you're just like, well, like, I know he writes books and has, you know, he's been a speaker at some of these conferences in the past, some of these bigger ones, like, but he's not a mega church pastor, right? Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. First off, his church is pretty big. Christ Covenant, I think, in Matthew's there. But also, like, look at his footprint online. He's a juggernaut. And he's going to continue to be. And I think he's probably going to be the most academic of all these guys. And that could be very helpful. But let me be clear about Kevin DeYoung. I am scared to death about that guy. I think, like, the articles that he writes where he's like, patriarchy, like Doug Wilson, like, that's not what I'm advocating for, but something like patriarchy. I get very concerned when there's stuff like that, where it's like, I don't know what it's not. We need something more than complementarianism, and we need something a little bit different than patriarchy, as said by Doug Wilson. But we need something like it. Like, to me, that's like, whoa, where are you going? Where are you going to land? So I'm very curious and kind of scared of where Kevin DeYoung is going to land, because I think that he's going to have crazy influence wherever that is. Now for him, you know, he is like social media. He's got his website, but he's not like video. If that guy gets a hold of video and starts putting out like actual content, like something like Costi Henn is doing with For the Gospel, like, I think that is probably going to be the next big guy. And, but again, a lot of differences that I see, between these two groups. All right. But it's a very different evangelical world we're moving into. These are the people that I see. Now, I could be wrong. You know, I'm not a prophet. I've had a lot of people be like, you're a false prophet. I've gotten that. Nope, I'm not a prophet. But this is how I see things shaking out. And I'd be interested to know what you think about that. So let me know down in the chat, or if you are watching on the replay, let me know down in the comments section. Is there someone I'm missing? Do you think one of these guys is like, he shouldn't be there? He's not going to have that much influence or whatnot. Who are the voices that you think are going to be like the big voices amongst Reformed? And I'm putting it that way because some people would call them Reformed, some people wouldn't. And maybe I wouldn't call each one of them actually Reformed, but they all claim it. So let me know what you think about that. I'd be very curious. Let's hop back into the chat here and see what you guys have been saying for a little bit. And then we got a video that we're going to watch of Doug Wilson in just a minute. Let's see. Bobby says, as much as Webin might talk down on Acts 29, he seems pretty desperate to be the next Driscoll. Yeah, it seems like he's got a lot of similarities, and I don't know if he realizes that, but there seems to be, to me, a lot of similarities between the two. But I'm not saying the character stuff. Like Mark Driscoll was a liar and just a complete fake, I think. And I'm not willing to say that about Joel Webbin. I do think he is wrong about a lot of things, but I think that he actually believes what he says, or at least that's what I get out of it. I think he does like play up things and tries to be overly controversial to gain that audience. And that's something that Driscoll did. That's one of the similarities I see. But I think he believes it, but I don't know. I don't know the guy. Wendy says, I am serious. Ogden, Utah. Yeah, it's going to be a thing. It's going to be a thing. Tax collector, hot take. GCC is going to be led by a committee. I don't see them having another singular lead pastor anymore due to past scandals, and this whole thing of finding JMAC's successor is a big nothing burger. Yeah, weird thing that they started themselves. Again, like, I mean, like, I made a video about it, just like goofing off. My video was called So You Think You Can Mac. All right. Like, obviously, I'm kind of joking and having fun with it. But they're like, oh, everyone's asking. Everyone's asking this question, and they shouldn't be asking. You know, like, it's all of us. We're the elders. I was like, okay. All right, guys, calm down. But yeah, I could see that. I could see where it's just like a rotation of elders, a plurality of elders. I could see that, but I think eventually, I think that might be how it goes for like 5 or 6 years. And then I think eventually the congregation's going to get sick of that and they're going to want a main guy. Or maybe one of them is going to show themselves to be, you know, a little bit more capable as far as preaching goes, whether that's Mike Riccardi or I don't know, whoever. They're going to be like, that guy, that's the guy. And he'll be like the main pastor. And then they'll still probably have a rotation of elders because they've kind of said it that way. But yeah, I don't think that's that hot of a take. I think that's actually pretty smart. RJ says Georgetown is really close to where Vision Forum was. Same fate? Maybe. Maybe. Matthew says Austin Duncan is a nice guy, but a boring preacher. I went there and that's my experience. I don't know. I haven't listened to a lot of him other than the podcast. So, I mean, I've listened to stuff back in the day when I was in youth group or around that age and he was the youth pastor. So I remember like the youth sermons, but that's very different, right? I wouldn't want to be judged by some of my sermons when I was a youth group pastor. So, Cody says, how do you feel about Apologia Church in Arizona? Yeah, I thought about putting them in there. I just don't think they have that much influence. They've been trying so hard for so long, and it doesn't seem like it's going to grow any more than where it's at. So maybe I'm wrong about that, but I'm just kind of looking at it and being like, if they were going to pop and be like super influential, I think they would have already. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're probably just a little too controversial. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know why. But people just don't seem like that's going to be the thing. Now, maybe that's just my own bias, but that's just the way I see it. But let's see. Mark says, as I said, Piper's successor tapped out. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that went down, and maybe we'll know some of it. Maybe we'll never know any anything that actually happened. But it'd be very interesting to find out. Caleb says, evangelicals crave functional bishops. Even if the specifics are wrong specifics, with the internet, there will be a new age of leaders. It will depend on what rallies people that will decide who. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. For me, I'm looking at these things and seeing politics as being like the rallying point. I think that's where we're headed. Where we're at and where we're headed even more so. So I think that's going to be a continuing thing. Matthew says, Kevin DeYoung is not a bad guy at all. He's a brilliant guy, but I have differences with him. I would agree. At this point, you know, I haven't seen anything from him to think like he's one of those guys. People were like, oh, someone else was on Twitter saying something about how like all these guys are fighting for position. Some of them are. Like if we go back here, I think some of these guys are definitely fighting to have their spot and they're moving places, like picking up. Like, I think Joe Rigney moving to Moscow was very strategic. Like, I think some of these guys are really trying to get their platform and they're desperate for it. I think some of these guys are just doing a good job and getting a platform. And even though I have disagreements with, like, doesn't, like, just because I don't like their preaching or I don't watch their videos doesn't mean that they're not helpful for people. So, like, people who are vying for it. I think Joel Webbin is vying for it. I think like the Ogden guys are vying for it. Joe Rigney is vying for it. I think in some ways Josh Bice has been vying for it for a long time. But I think some of the people that just doing things and stuff is happening for him, I think Kosti Henn is doing that. You know, I think he started speaking way too early. Like he was like speaking as an authority on like a lot of things right off the bat. And it's like, guy, you were just like catching people for Benny Hinn just like 2 years ago. Can you calm down a little bit? Like, I think that that happened. But now I think he's a pretty capable preacher, and he's just like, I have disagreements all day with him. But, you know, he's like, I think that's kind of just happening for him, and he's working hard to get it done. But I think it's just happening. I think the same thing for Owen Strahan. I think the same thing for Desiring God. They've been doing it for a long time. I don't think that there's anyone there that's like, oh, I'm going to be the next John Piper or something like that. And then for Kevin DeYoung, I think he like just straight up deserves it. The guy has been working hard for like 20 years. Again, I read why we're not emerging from two guys who should be. Like, I read that, what, like as soon as it came out. So I think I was in high school. Like, he's been writing books. He's been doing everything for a long time. And he's been connected to a lot of these guys for a long time. So I think it's just happening for him. And I think he deserves it. Now, I hope that he stewards that platform really well and doesn't end up landing with some people. I'm concerned. But I think that, you know, I just have some differences with him. Slightly says, the age of celebrity pastors is over. The time of the Christian content creator has come. Boy, I hope that's not true. Like, I know I'm a Christian content creator, but man, I gotta say, when I look around on Christian YouTube, I don't see, like I've said it before, other than like my buddies, I don't see anyone who's doing anything really all that worthwhile. All right, like people, like if you're out there who, like, in if you're in the chat and you're normally, I'm thinking of you as a buddy, okay? But there's like all these big guys going out there and doing a bunch of stuff. I just don't like it. I'm not a fan. So like, I really hope it's like actually qualified elders would be nice. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Cody says, I have a semester coming up in the 21st this month at Midwestern. I'm concerned about a PhD program they have that involves Thomism. I'm very happy to be attending seminary in general. Well, you know, use your noggin, you know, take what you want and reject what you don't want, you know, like just because someone is teaching something doesn't mean you have to accept it, you know, just you have to pass the test. That's all that is. Winsome says, if Strand Seminary continues to grow at its present rate, I have no doubts that they will be able to take over an A&P supermarket within 5 years. Maybe. You know, you never know. Everyone has dreams, right? Bobby says, Owen Strahan holds to EFS. His former colleague, Matthew Barrett, is one of the leading voices for classical Trinitarianism. I have a feeling Strahan's departure was related to that. I think it was probably more related to his tweets, and those would be some of the tweets. But, I, you know, like the eternal subordination of the Son stuff, I mean, there's a lot of people we got to get rid of if they said anything close to that. And I do think that if you fully embrace it, like that's heresy. Okay. That's not classical Trinitarianism. I like Matthew Barrett quite a bit and I agree with him. But I will say, like, not everyone who says something a little weird and off actually affirms all those things. We have to listen to him. The same thing, right? Like, I always talk about, like, we got to listen to people and understand where they stop with certain ideas. Do they go down the full block or the full street, or do they go down a couple blocks and they're okay in that area? I'm not sure where Owen Strahan is on that. I'm not going to defend the guy. I'm just saying, like, I need him to come out and actually say, like, here's everything of where I'm at. Maybe he's already done that and I just haven't paid attention. So that might also be the case. Bobby also says, I remember in 2019, there was a huge dust up over Piper and Platt being at G3 because of social justice stuff. The next year, they weren't on the list. That was the turning point. Yeah. For me, I view the turning point as the Q&A. That was a total gotcha situation from Phil Johnson. on who was there? It was Lig Duncan and Mark Dever, and talking about, you know, woke church and stuff like that. That you remember that Q&A? I view that as the turning point. Like, that was like, I so cringy, by the way, but also just like, where's everyone going? Like, this is so weird, and everyone is going to be shifting after this. That's how I felt, at least. But I agree with you. There were a lot of turning points here. Pamela says, this morning I listened to an interview with a woman, Lorena Hieronymus, and her story of what it's like at Doug Wilson's Lagos school. Terrible. Moscow is a cult. I would agree. I would agree with that. Yeah, I said it. Clip it out. I agree with that. And some people asking for the interview. Let's see. Great podcasting. Cody says, Jeff Durbin seems to be making a huge impact in the pro-life movement. Yes, they're very active in that arena. Considering he's gone before government officials and calling them to repentance, that comes across as pretty massive. I mean, sure. But I do think it's a pretty centralized idea. I think there's a little bit more, I think, to having like a wider influence than just, you know, he might be that guy. You know, we've seen it with Ken Ham, right? Ken Ham. He's the creation guy. but, you know, like he's got his thing. So maybe that happens. Maybe that happens. And Jeff Durbin has his thing of being like the pro-life guy. And everyone wants them to come on their Sanctity of Human Life Sunday and come and speak. Because we all know that's in the liturgical calendar. And right? No. But yeah, maybe that becomes a thing. But yeah, they are very influential in that arena for sure. Michelle says, I've been to Grace a number of times and like half the people are there because of JMAC with a cult like devotion. I think Owen Strand, is perhaps the only guy who could take that mantle. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that happens, you know, maybe like something crazy happens and it's just everything shifts. Like, this is just my opinion of where I think things are going. I Can't Spell says, I really think this extreme patriarchy is going to lead to major splits. My church is heavily teaching patriarchy infused sermons these days. Is this a reason to go church shopping? Yes, I would say that it is. Like, as far as, you know, have a conversation with your pastor and find out like where they exactly are. You probably have already done this. But, you know, have a conversation and be like, what do you actually believe about these things? And go through specifics, and ask, can a woman do this? Can a woman do that? Can a woman, you know, live on her own? Can a woman be a manager at a grocery store where she manages some men? Ask those kinds of questions. And if they're like, yeah, we're all for patriarchy, I would say that's reason to leave a church. I would, because it's going to influence everything that they do when they're like, cause it's not just about pushing women down. It's about like lifting men up, and not just men, like this authority, like this idea of authority. And that pastor eventually is going to think that they have far more influence over you as a congregant than they actually do biblically. Like, it's going to touch a lot of different spheres of ministry. Like, again, I think that patriarchy guys can preach the gospel. Okay. But their methodology for ministry, I think, is going to be so different and could be harmful, especially if you're a woman, obviously. Then, yeah, I think it would be worth, you know, talking to them, seeing where they're at. And if they really are, I think for me, that would be enough. Tax collector also disagrees about Durbin. I would put Apologia Church on this list because of their influence on politics on the ground level. They've gotten bills passed in a bunch of states here in the U.S. Maybe. I just don't see, like, I don't see people really inviting, like, those leaders, like, specifically Jeff Durbin. I don't see people inviting him to come and speak at conferences on, like, the main stage and write books and, you know, influence in that way to the mainstream. You know, like I said, maybe it just becomes this thing and they talk about like being pro-life and they bring him in for those kind of conferences, maybe. But yeah, Let's see. Let's hop down a little bit. Pamela says, Joel Webbin is a childish bully in Twitter convos because he advocates for being a laughing king. When anyone has a problem with you, very kingly, much kingness. All right. Let me do this. All right. I am not here to defend Joel Webbin. I thought that jolly coupon thing was hilarious. All right. I know you judge me all you want. Judge me all you want, but you know, I make a lot of content online too, and I get a lot of people who come at me and say stuff. And guys, this is basically what the penalty box is. Like, we'll do that in a couple minutes. But like, I think it's okay to laugh at some of the insanity that comes against you. Now, whether he's laughing at the right things, that's a different topic. But like the jolly stuff and like just keep on jolly, I thought was hilarious. So I don't know if that makes me a terrible Christian. And you know, like, oh, it's like Owen Strand doing like the, like, this is so unbecoming of a pastor. Like, all right, maybe as a pastor, you want to think about that and, you know, wrestle through it. But just as like a Christian, I'm okay with that. I think that's lighthearted fun. Now, some of the other ways that he responds to critics, I'm not going to defend any of that. I'm just saying there is something to laughing off when things are like really intense for no reason. You know, like basically what I do with the penalty box. I think there's something to that, that you can still have, you know, you just a little bit of levity when someone comes at you so intensely. Let's see. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, speaking about that, should we do that first? No, we're not going to do that first. We're not going to do that first. You know, like looking at the map, obviously, I think some of what's happened has been the influence of Moscow. So I think it's about time that we go and we just, you know, we just check in, see what's going on there in Moscow. Meanwhile, at Moscow. All right, so this was at a recent conference, and here we're going to hear some, I think, very interesting things. And I want you to notice who's sitting there. Like, you got the cross politics guys, but also there's Vody Bakum. So this was at their missions conference, I think, but listen.
On a regular basis, methodical basis, pour yourself into your family and pray for your country. Just give yourself to that. And when God raises up the right standard bearer, which he does multiple times throughout redemptive history, everybody knows now is the time to rally to Gibeon. Now is the time to gather here and there. Don't take the bait. Wait until God's deliverance arrives. And we will know. When that happens, we will know.
What? So what Doug Wilson just said is that God raises up heroes, essentially. Standard bearers is how he puts it. Of people who are, you know, like specially called by God to be that person for God in that moment. You know, basically prophets and judges. Like that God raises them up over time. One, I don't think I agree with it being like that systematic, that there are like people that we could just pick out and be like, Martin Luther is, you know, one of these standard bearers. Augustine is one of these standard bearers. You know, like we could go through a list and just like call out people. I don't think it's that simple. But we can see that God has used people. But what he's saying is like, wait for his coming, essentially. Let's listen to it one more time.
On a regular basis, methodical basis.
Look at Vody as he agrees throughout.
Pray for your country. Just give yourself to that. And when God raises up the right standard bearer, which he does multiple times throughout redemptive history, everybody knows now is the time to rally to Gibeon. Now is the time to gather here and there. Don't take the bait. Wait until God's deliverance arrives.
He's nodding.
And we will know. When that happens, we will know.
That's nuts. All right. That's essentially, there's going to be some, I don't know if he's meaning just like religiously or politically, that there's going to be like some Messiah kind of figure coming in whose name is not Jesus, and they're going to be like the guy that you're supposed to follow, and you will know. You'll just know because you're the people of God. And obviously, people of God never get it wrong. And so when that person comes, there's going to be a rallying point. That sounds like exactly what the crazy Trump people say. Like, I'm not saying like everyone who's voted for Trump. I'm talking about like people who have like the pictures of like Trump and Jesus working together to save North American culture. Like, it's like, nope. That is nuts. And it's a weird, weird take on postmillennialism. I haven't heard any other postmillennialists talk about like these kind of figures, these standard bearers. But also then it becomes like, who is the standard bearer? Who is this leader that we're all going to know and we should all follow as Christians? Like, what? That? Yes. Yes. That to me, that was my first thought. Cult. Like, what? And Vody Bakum is not just like, I have issues with him even going to Moscow because of their theology. It's not the same as just like someone who preaches the gospel, but believes in patriarchy in any form. Like, that would be one thing. This is he doesn't preach the right gospel. I've said it many times. I'll continue to say it. I don't care what some of you guys leave in the comments. Going to continue to say it because federal vision is heretical. He doesn't preach the gospel. And so when he gets up there and he goes and ministers, that's a different thing. And I think it's giving him way more acceptance amongst other groups as well. And there's like, Vody is also going to be speaking at the G3 thing. But here he is agreeing that there's some kind of standard bearer that's out there. And we're supposed to wait for his coming. And I guess he's going to save us from all our problems. And the church will just know, the true church. Right. The true church will just know that that's the guy that we're supposed to follow. That's so weird. I haven't heard any. Let me know in the chat or down in the comment section if you've ever heard a postmillennialist talk this way. Like, this is crazy. But this was uploaded somewhere. I saw it. It was a tweet somewhere like this. This leads to all kinds of deception, like, because then, you know, like, oh, Joe Rickney is, he's the standard bearer. My error is the standard bearer. You know, like, I think he's a little too late in the game for Doug Wilson to be saying that about himself. Although I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. I think actually the person that's coming would be an antichrist. Of everyone saying he's the hero and we should all follow. That sounds more like what I remember from my premillennialist dispensational, you know, banners that we had to make. You know, like, that sounds like more like the charts. Sounds like a Nick Cage movie to me. But it's just nuts. Anyways, let's get into the penalty box.
You want to see a penalty? I'll show you a real penalty.
Well, I'll just know. Oh, crazy. Let's see. What are you guys saying? I like to hop in a little bit before going over into the penalty stuff. Ann says, I remember a while back, Vody's daughter said something online and a bunch of his followers were telling her that he was going to be ashamed of her. And she was like, yeah, no, he won't be. That's probably part of a bigger conversation. Caleb says, well, in fairness, Austin Duncan was supposed to tell who the standard bearer would be. The standard bearer is all of us. Guys, the real standard bearer is the friends we made along the way. Potluck says, I'm honestly shocked if I'm hearing this right. I'm going to have to watch this conference if they upload it. That's so strange, unless he's referring to examining your leaders. I don't know the bigger context, so maybe there's something there. But to me, that's freaking nuts. And I think, I don't know if context is going to save that one. Sometimes context really helps you to like know, okay, that wasn't as crazy. Maybe you still disagree, but I don't know if there's any saving that one. And Stephanie agrees. Sounds like a description of the rising of the Antichrist. Michelle also says that. It's very, very weird. Dylan says, I know who it is. I know who it is because he's the true church. Mark Driscoll is that prince. Okay. It's a little weird. Yeah. Wendy says, Vody appears quite like a chameleon lately. He spoke at the Ligonier conference this spring. One last thing. I don't mean to like shame anyone, but isn't he supposed to be in Africa? Like he's like president or chancellor of the seminary and talks about his work over in Africa all the time. Every week I see him on a different show here in the States. And it's been happening for like 3 years. I know he has health issues, so maybe that's part of it. Maybe he's, you know, being over here for an extended period and getting like exams and, you know, follow-ups and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if that's the case, but it just seems like every week I see him. He's on Ben Shapiro. He's at like Moscow. He's at the Ligonier conference. He's going to be speaking in Atlanta next month. Like what is with that? That is so odd to me. Anyways, let's do the penalty box. What do we got? 2 minute minor trip, and there's a call. Oh, this one hurts my soul a little bit. All right. So this is from comments on Fallout from Christianity Today's John MacArthur News and Revival at Asbury. I'm great at titles. That was a long title. And apparently, you know, I'm not so great at talking either. So who is this? Arlene Heimer Palmer 4741. Which always, why the numbers after? Why the numbers? When will you get to the subject at hand? Way too much talking. That hurts. That hurts my soul a little bit.
Big yikes.
But you know what? It's kind of true. It's kind of true. I can't, you know what? Like, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to be a little bit better, but it probably won't happen.
Uh-oh.
Let's go back. Oh, I went way too far. All right, that one. Boom. What's next?
There's the whistle. There's no excuse, sir. He knows that whistle's been blown.
My biggest issue with John MacArthur. So again, one of the shorts, which you know, things are going to happen. Miriam Renesu says, "Eesh, like seriously, what are you even saying? Please keep your criticism to yourself and ask God for direction." So far, it's like, okay, that's, you know, all right, whatever. He preaches the true word of God. Oh. Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot, Miriam. It only matters what happens from the pulpit. Yes, you're right. Only happens. Like, that's the only thing that matters. Doesn't matter what a pastor does outside the pulpit. As long as he gets up there and he preaches the true word of God, that means he is beyond criticism and is always right in everything he does. Thanks for saying that. Very helpful. Next. All right. Expect pushback when you platform dangerous teachers was the video. And I'm very surprised that there wasn't that much hate on that video. But, you know, that's all right. We got Jonathan Wilson 4949 saying, "Come on, brother." I appreciate that you call me brother. You just said a lot of nothing. Fair. Pandering to your shrinking progressives Christians, which means not Christian. All right. Well, I think like your definition of Christian needs a little bit of work. Also, I don't know what that means. Pandering to your shrinking progressive Christian. Is the Christian shrinking? Am I shrinking? Is the channel shrinking? I think that's actually probably what he meant. Like the audience is shrinking. I don't know, man. Every day, more subscribers. Like, it's not like we're growing like crazy, but every day there's more. Just saying. Audience who already hates the truth. All right, let me know in the chat if you hate truth. I'd really appreciate it if we just, like, could get that all sorted. You know, maybe Jonathan Wilson, if you're watching this, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. You know, I want to make sure, you know, if anyone here hates truth, that we get them kicked out and banned so you can feel comfortable, you know, on this channel. That is why you don't challenge any of Joel's teachings. Maybe it was also because it was a short video that I just was commenting on the fact that Ruslan had him on. That also might be the thing. like, here's the thing. Whenever I make shorts or I clip out anything, I always get people who are like, "Well, where's the bigger video that describes everything in detail?" It's like, one, I don't have to make that video. Two, like, it's already sitting there. Like, there's a bigger conversation. Or you could search on my channel and you can find out all the different things that I've said. Search Joel Webbin and Dean Lentini and you're going to probably find some stuff. So maybe do a little bit of Googling. It might help you. I wish you had, truly. I don't know what that means. Like, are you looking for stuff then? Well, you, again, Google. But this was just a hollow diatribe for likes. Well, hit the like button, y'all. Just for Jonathan Wilson. Repent. Repent. Okay. But, you know. Oh, we Orlando says he loves truth, by the way. So there's that. Anyone hate truth? Still looking for the haters. We need to get them out of here. If we got any mods, you know, be on the lookout for truth haters. All right. Mark Driscoll has not changed. Shorts. Hashtag rise and fall of Mars Hill. Hashtag I have no idea what else I said. Gilbert says, so just Gilbert. I appreciate those usernames, not like Jonathan Wilson 494947. Like Gilbert. Like it's, thanks, Gilbert. But this is being, you know, reviewed for a max penalty. So my advice is leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourself fighting against God. Acts 5:38. I've seen this so much. All right. Not everything in the book of Acts is prescriptive for how we live our lives. Sometimes a narrative is just a narrative, and it's there to show us maybe there's some wisdom that we can learn from it, but we should not take them as commands. If you do this, and like this is, you know, the apostles, I think it was it Peter and John, they went to the synagogue and they healed a guy, and then they were, you know, preaching, and then they get hauled away by the Sanhedrin. It's the, you know, these are just common men, and they had recognized that they had been with Jesus, like all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they were charged not to preach in Jesus' name anymore. And, you know, but they were debating, you know, do we kill these guys? Like, what are we going to do? And someone says, hey, you know, here's what I think. Don't live your life this way. Because what that means is every false teacher, everyone who is dangerous should never be called out. This is like, this is basically like, what was it, David Brainerd, the missionary, when he wanted to be reaching to the First Nations people, and he went to his mission board, and the mission board was just like, hey, when God decides to save the heathen, he's going to do it without your help or mine. Like, it's that same kind of philosophy. Of, oh, well, God will just, you know, he'll stop him. He'll stop him. And so you don't need to do anything. Like, well, we also have other Bible verses that say to call out these people. But Gilbert, you can't live your life this way. This isn't a good philosophy to have. All right. If you do that, you're just not going to be assertive about anything. So I'm just saying, like, maybe there's some wisdom in some moments. And maybe not in some others. All right. That was the wrong button. All right. Well, let's see what you guys are saying. I'm still looking for those truth haters. Where are the truth haters? We need to know. Let's see. Kira says, happy birthday, Dean. Happy 90th. Sorry, late. I just love it. That's what my kid put. It's like, you're always saying that you're old, so here's your 90th birthday card. I thought it was so funny. I laughed really, really hard. We'll watch after at the lake for the long weekend. Happy Saskatchewan Day, too. Hey. Yes. No work, nothing. We just get to hang out. Everyone's celebrating my birthday today in Saskatchewan. Wendy says, I, too, love biblical truth and have sacrificed much to uphold it. The rampant apostasy grieves me deeply. I agree. Also, it's not helpful, Wendy. We're looking for the truth haters, not the truth lovers. All right. Where are the haters? Come out. I challenge you. Oh, man. Cody says, so should women hold elder roles? I'm honestly confused. By what? Where is that coming from? I have a lot of stuff on that. Just search around. I am for qualified male eldership. Right, but not everyone who hangs out here is, and I think that's okay. Ann says, happy birthday, appreciate it. Slightly says, I hate truth. Cool, now we know who to ban. I hate truth because truth means that Battlefront 3 was canceled when it was 80% complete and we got a PSP game instead. I don't know. Like, I'm not a gamer, but now we know that Slightly can be banned. If there's any mods here, ban Slightly. Don't do it. Tax Collector says, I hate truth. Brandon Robertson is my best friend. Is that the truth? I don't know. No, you can't say that. That's not, nope. It's a narrative, but still. Caleb says, fine, you caught me. I came for music, but stayed for lies. Truth hater. All right. Now we know. We can ban all these people. Carol says, happy birthday, Dean. Have a long ways to go to get to 90. I don't know. I feel like it. And, you know, I don't want to brag or anything, but I'm pretty sure this certifies me as a 90-year-old. Okay. This is, if anyone asks, like Dean's always saying he's old, here's the proof. All right. Would I have a birthday card that says 90 if I wasn't? Heidi says, guys, I miss so much. My mother-in-law came over. She was freaked out when Dean was on my TV greeting me when she came in. I'd be pretty weirded out too. That's fair. That's really fair. If you just like walked into someone's house and just like this dude's just like talking to me like, hey, I'd be weirded out. If you saw this face on the screen, this 90-year-old face. Dylan says, I hate the truth because it makes me feel bad. The truth hurts. Like the truth of your awesomeness, Dylan. We all know you are. We all know. Saskatchewan, do you consider yourself a fan of Culture Wall? Here's the thing. I hate country music. I hate it. I hate all of it. But I actually like Culture Wall. He's got a couple songs that I really dig. So, and also, you know, he's the prime minister. Or the he was, the son of one of our guys. So, like, we like him. We like him. We like Culture Wall. Hometown kid. He's from Swift Current. Tax Collector. I also hate truth because I like the prequels as much as the original trilogy. Cool. Let me know in the chat and in the comment section. What is the truth that you hate? All right. That everyone else is like, this is the truth. And you hate that truth. Or like, whatever this joke is, however this joke is, do that, but with what you want. Pretty good. James White has said that women shouldn't vote. Is that true? I don't know about that. There are tons of those guys who do say that, which is nuts. But I don't know about James White. Heidi says, now I have to rewatch it. I hate truth. Doug Wilson be practically Catholic and Reformed men still love him. It's the truth. And it stinks. Oh, that's a good one. That's one. I appreciate that one. Slightly says, also, Dean, if you didn't catch my earlier comment, you should add more gravel to your Ken Ham voice to make the old man yelling at kids to get off his lawn vibe more explicit and funny. I don't know how to do that voice. I'm not a voice actor, okay? I know how to do one kind of Australian accent, and so that's the one that I do, and that's all I'm ever going to do. And also, there's part of me that just really thinks that it's funny, so... I'm not changing. It's too hard. I don't like the truth about people telling me I am obsessed or obese. It hurts a lot. Well, that is a truth that's not funny. That sucks. I hate that people say that to you. I hate truth. Culture Wall is the coolest thing to come out of Saskatchewan for a while. One that hurts my feelings. No, it's... Well, I mean, I'm not thinking that I would be one of them. Also, I'm not originally from Saskatchewan, so it doesn't count. My kids are. Well, at least one of them. One of them was born here. All right. Let me know. I still want to know the truth that you hate in the comment section. Leave that comment down below. Guys, I will be back sometime in this week. I have a video. I just need to edit about Narnia and Greta Gerwig that is going to ruffle some feathers. And then we're going to do Underdogs Unite on Friday and maybe some stuff in between. We'll see. We'll see what happens this week. We'll see what happens. But guys, I just want to make sure that you guys remember, one, hit the like button. Two, subscribe to the channel. Three, be looking for that standard bearer. Where is he? Where is this guy? But, you know, when we see him, we'll all know. But, like, be looking. You know, be observant. You know, we don't know where he is. Maybe I'm him. Maybe I'm the standard bearer. No, you would need to have standards first. Dang. Oh, man.